Oh, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. We're going to talk all about tea and things.
Yes, my favorite subject.
Fantastic. Do you have any questions for me before we start?
No, I don't think so.
All right, then we're just going to do this thing.
Sounds good.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I am Rashawn Parker. If you haven't yet, please go watch my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, about chef-owned and operated restaurants. Now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Tubi TV, it's free TV. Also, go follow me everywhere at Beyond the Check. And also, Rashawn Parker, if you can spell it, it's R-E-Y-S-H-A-N Parker. Cool. My lovely guest today is somebody who... has been featured on the World of Tea News, the Daily Tea, Tea Journey, and also she hosts a fantastic blog all about tea at Tea For Me, Please. Would you please welcome Nicole Wilson?
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic. So, fun fact about me, my mother's an herbalist. So I actually grew up around a lot of herbs and weird teas, but I myself am not very knowledgeable on the subject of tea itself. So I imagine you can enlighten me.
I will do my best.
How was your day?
It wasn't too bad. Just had work and now I finally get to have a cup of tea.
Touché. What kind of tea are you having?
I'm drinking Silver Needle. It's a very high-end white tea.
Ooh. So no caffeine?
It actually does have caffeine.
Oh. See, but I did know a little thing about a thing. Generally, white tea aren't necessarily caffeinated? Or are they?
Actually, they are. Sometimes there's like a myth that they don't have caffeine, but it's because they're high in L-theanine, which is an amino acid that relaxes you. So it kind of counteracts the caffeine that's there. So you maybe just don't feel it as much as you would with the black tea.
Touché. See, learn something new right off the bat. Thank you. How did you get into tea? What was, why the tea journey of your life?
I grew up drinking tea with my mom every night. It was always just like black tea bags with milk and sugar, kind of like most people do. And then when I went to college, you know, all of my classmates would have their like cups of coffee at your like 8 a.m. class, you know, and I didn't like coffee. And I was like trying all these new teas, you know, just because, you know, to keep myself caffeinated for all-nighters writing papers and things like that. And I just really got really interested in trying all, first I started just trying all the different things at the grocery store. And then I went online and I like was blown away that there was this entire tea world that I had not known about before. That like for most Americans, you think of tea as like your Lipton tea bag. And there's so much more to it than that, that it was kind of just mind blowing and kind of turned into a rabbit hole that I'm still going down today.
Awesome, man. That's tea-tastic.
Yeah.
Anybody else ever said that to you before?
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely... Tea puns are always...
They're your world, huh? All the tea puns. Tea-tastic. So, fun fact, I'm drinking Lipton, like, peach mango. Just because... With no sweeteners. I'm not a big sweetener or lemon in my tea. How do you take your tea? Are there different ways to drink different teas?
There's definitely different ways to drink different teas. Generally, I drink my tea kind of just on its own. But I do like enjoy a latte every once in a while or something like that. You know, there's lots of different ways you can do it.
My mom's favorite way is she drinks her tea with a little bit of Bailey's in it. And usually chai tea with a little Bailey's. It's like her jam. She's being dangerous. When she reaches for the like Baileys in her tea.
It's like the tea version of an Irish coffee, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. You can do all kinds of things with tea. Do you have a number one favorite tea?
I always cheat and say oolong just because it's kind of the most diverse category. So you could pretty much find any taste that you're looking for in the oolong category. So I always cheat and say that just because it It's so hard. There's hundreds of thousands of different kinds of teas that, you know, once you kind of get that deep into it, I don't think you can really have a favorite.
There's just way too many varieties. It's too many. They're like, yeah. Teas like snowflakes, huh?
Yeah, basically.
Touche. Do you want to do a fun thing and like walk through your tea experience of life, like step by step? Like we'll like go like, you know, from college, right? And like the first.
Sure. Yeah. So when I was in college, then I was kind of getting into tea and I came across a website that was looking for like staff tea reviewers, where they were like, we'll send you free tea and you write about it. And I was like, I'm in college. I like free stuff. That sounds great.
That's cool.
So that was kind of, I did that for a couple of years where, you know, I was, I was writing for them and trying, getting to really get this really great early education where most people, it's kind of a gradual discovery where I just got thrown, you know, 30, 40 samples of tea every month that I had to drink through and
taste. Oh no. What so, would, you, would yeah. you do? Did they also send you toilet paper with all the tea?
But yeah, so I was doing that for a while and I kind of approached the owner of the website that I was like, can I back up what I'm writing for you on a site of my own? And he was like, yeah, sure. So that was actually why I started my blog. It wasn't even necessarily as a blog. It was more of just like, if this website was to shut down tomorrow, I don't want to lose all that work I did.
And you were doing it anyway.
So I was kind of, yeah. So I was just kind of backing up what I was writing for them. And after a while, I was like, oh my God, people are reading it.
People really care about tea in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small community compared to maybe some other things, but
probably in the United States, right?
That's it too. Yeah. Definitely. I would say it's more of a worldwide, you know, it's the most consumed beverage after water. So it's definitely, I think outside of the US is much more popular.
It's like the soccer of beverages.
That's an analogy, right? Yeah.
Whereas, like, football is the coffee, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah, and 13 years later, I'm still writing about tea.
That's so much fun. So, do you every day? Are you still like trying a different tea a day? Is it still a new experience every day?
I try to as much as I can. Yeah. So I still do a lot of tea reviews. I've kind of evolved and shifted my focus a little bit over the years where I kind of started sharing more knowledge than just like straight up reviews. So I've kind of transitioned into doing a lot more, you know, knowledge-based articles, just helping people learn more about tea because it can be really intimidating, especially if you're not from a culture that drinks tea on a regular basis, you know, and there's so many different ways you can make tea that it's a lot and it can be intimidating. So that's kind of my goal, is to help people learn about tea in like a fun way, make it interesting, but not like overly snobby about it.
All right. So ways to make tea. So,
yeah, so
I'll name a few.
Okay.
And these are just the ones I know. And then I'm sure there's a lot of other ones. So just the classic way, like you buy it at the store, right? And like the tea bag pre-made, which is not really how you're going to be able to make a lot of probably your more exotic teas, right? They're not going to come in a bag like that, right?
Yeah.
And otherwise, my mom had the old scooper tea thing. It was just like, you know, you just scoop the tea in the little ball and you just put it in the pot and it hung out and all the leaves skirted out of the mesh a little bit and you had to sip a little bit of leaf all the time. I remember that. And what else is there? There's new things. What do you got?
Yeah. So,
or older things even.
Yeah. So for newer things, I would say like infuser baskets are really great. That if you're doing loose leaf tea, like I know you said, like the tea ball that always like a little bit of the leaves fell out. that always happens with those, where infuser baskets are really great because they're like stainless. They have really tiny holes, so you're not going to get really any leaf particles falling through. And you just pop them into a cup or a teapot, and it's just like a really easy way of making tea without a whole lot of fuss.
So how does it work? Is it already pre-packaged, or is it a device that you use?
It's just kind of like an open basket that you just put your leaves into.
Oh, and then
you just pour the water, hot water in. Yeah.
Well, that's simple enough.
It can really then get super deep and, you know, crazy from there. You know, if you look at somewhere like China that has thousands of years of tea history on us, you know, there's ways of that they've been brewing tea for that long that are really interesting to do. And I think have started to become more popular as more Americans are discovering tea, that, you know, it kind of becomes more of a ritual that, you know, instead of, you know, you think of like British style teas,
tea
like
parties.
Usually like big teapots, you know, and especially like here in America, we love big cups of everything. We love our like Trentas at Starbucks, where more typically, yeah, exactly. Where typically in Asia, they actually use very small teacups and very small teapots. So it's a particular style of tea called Gong Fu, which just means like with skill. So you're purposely brewing the tea very slowly, very, very thoughtfully and mindfully, in a way that just really concentrates the flavor where you're just focusing on the tea. You know, you're not watching Netflix, you're not doing homework or, you know, other
ceremonial
stuff. Yeah, it definitely. It's not a formal ceremony, but many people do find that it kind of feels ceremonial.
I mean, like a bunch of old guys sitting around sipping scotch. It's just,
yeah,
it's tea.
Definitely.
Right. So not really that much different to actually enjoy the thing that you're having to, you know, excess. Like even all food, all things should really be enjoyed if you take the time to enjoy them. We don't. Right. But like. Everything tastes so much better if you actually think about the fact that you're eating it as opposed to just shoving it in your face.
Definitely.
You know, slow down, people.
Yeah. I think it's like that with anything.
Take time for tea. Yeah. Have tea time.
It's like that with anything, I think. Like when you first try a thing, like wine is often an example I use because there's a lot of parallels with tea. Like when you first drink wine, you're just like, this is great. It has alcohol in it. You know, you're maybe not paying attention to the nose or like all these things that like sommeliers talk about. But if you really get into wine, you do start appreciating those like more subtle things. And I think it's very similar to tea that way.
Your palate expands. And so it's, you know, it doesn't just taste like a leafy substance or, you know,
what
about all the infusions, you know, because in America, right, like right now I'm drinking this. I don't know if it has real peach and mango in it. It could just be like a flavoring on the leaves for all I know.
A lot of the times tea will have kind of flavorings added to it. Fruit itself doesn't have a whole lot of flavor if you're just brewing it in hot water. So a lot of times they'll put the fruit pieces because you like to see it. That it's like you just want to see those little chunks in there if you, you know, hear that it's a peach tea. But
or like
usually
the zest,
they will kind
right?
of... Yeah, like where usually they'll add some flavorings on top just to make sure that you're getting the flavor experience that you're expecting from the visual.
But outside of here, does around the world, are they flavoring the teas? Or are they enjoying each individual tea for really what the tea speaks for?
I would say it depends on where you are. I would say flavored teas, from what I've heard, I mean, I haven't been there myself, but I've heard that in France, they're very popular, the more flavored teas. You know, in England, Earl Grey is kind of like your very famous tea.
Yeah.
And that's flavored with bergamot oil. So that does have kind of like a citrus flavor.
That's the secret of the Earl Grey, huh? I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Touché. What did I write right there? Tea juice. So a thing in my house when I was a kid is that we always had the frozen juice cans, you know, and my mom didn't buy fresh juice. It was always frozen, and they still sell that frozen, I guess. And then you just add water, but there was four of us kids, right? So it was six of us in the house, and my mom would make tea juice. So she would take like the tea and like make the juice, and it was just tea juice. It's like a super refreshing, you know, beverage to trick us into drinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever try tea juice?
I have sometimes. There's a Japanese green tea called matcha that's very popular, and it's a powder, so it's super easy to really mix into anything you want. And I really like matcha with fruit juice. So, like in the summer, one of my favorite things is to mix it with watermelon juice. It's just like a super refreshing.
Hmm. That sounds interesting and delightful. Matcha, yeah. Matcha and watermelon juice.
Yes. Cool. It's also really good with like coconut water or orange juice.
So we're working our way through your life again. We're back to that. So we started off in college and you started writing the blog. And then what is when you started reaching out and having, I mean, obviously they mailed you a ton of different teas that you tried during that period of time. Do you still get mailed a lot of tea?
I do, yeah. So it's kind of transitioned over the years where part of it is that my personal preferences and tastes have changed. So when I first started the blog, I kind of wrote about anything and everything that was related to tea, where now my focus is more on like just pure unflavored teas. And particularly I try for teas that are directly sourced, partly because I kind of want to bring attention to the producers of the tea. Versus, you know, sometimes you'll get, I started discovering that like people were buying from the same wholesaler and I would have like three companies send me the same tea.
Really?
So yeah. So, which is like, it's fine. Cause that's a way to do business in tea, but
it's co-packed, right? It's just co-packed tea. But
you want to keep things fresh, you know, you don't want to be writing about the same thing all the time.
No.
And so that was part of why I switched to more direct source teas as well.
So do you do that like around the world? You get online and like try to find really small little tea companies around the world and like order tea?
For the most part, they'll reach out to me that just kind of as a more prominent, you know, tea blogger, you know, somebody from the company will kind of reach out and ask if they can send things. It's tricky because I almost get too much tea. That like, I can only drink so much and I do work, you know, full top of all my tea stuff. So it can be a lot to juggle.
So there is a such thing as too much tea.
Yes, there definitely can be. You know, yeah. Well, because it does eventually, I mean, tea doesn't go bad, but it will lose its flavor. So you want to make sure that you're drinking it when it's like at its best.
So what's the best way to store your tea?
Basically you want to keep tea away from heat, light, and moisture. Those are kind of like your enemies of tea.
So everything.
So I know people love putting tea in glass jars because it's really pretty. And it's like the worst thing you can do because light will degrade the leaves.
What if you put it in a glass jar and then put it in a cupboard?
Yeah, if it's a cupboard, you could probably get away with it.
But you don't want it sitting out.
Yeah, but you want to make sure that cupboard's not anywhere near your stove where it's going to be getting heat all the time.
Touche. So really, you keep it next to the cigars.
Well, there actually is a kind of tea called pour that can age over time, and people actually do store it in the way that you would cigars. I have my own kind of humidor, but it's for tea and not cigars.
Badass. Humidor, you are super into tea. That's awesome.
Yes.
And I wonder how many people are keeping their tea in humidors across the country and then around the world? Tea.
You know, it's kind of hard to quantify exactly.
Right. Do you have tea parties at your house? Like, and have friends over and have little tea parties?
I do sometimes.
Make them expand their palates?
I do, definitely. Whenever people come over, I'm always like, let me make you something. You know, and I just try to kind of open their minds a little bit to what tea is. But I don't have as many people kind of near me, that drink tea the way I do. So I think that's also part of what's kind of driven my blog as well, because that's how I share my passion is that, you know, because I don't have people to necessarily, you know, have tea with and do that, then I
you
do with the entire
mother.
World on the internet.
Shit. So she has, Ma Parker is like her like name. She's her real name, Cindy. But she has Healing Heart Herbals and Wabi Wellness Center in Athens, Ohio. And okay. she has tea parties still to this day. Like if you go on the website or look it up on Facebook, if you get bored. And yeah, all kinds of tea stuff there too. Love to have you on together. And you two could riff about tea together. Or I don't know, go be friends.
Yeah, definitely.
She's more into like the healing side of like teas and like ceremonies, and she makes salves and herbal tonics and tinctures and all the, I never went to the doctor. That's yeah. long and short of that story.
Well, when people first discovered tea, that's what they used it as medicine. The way they brewed it was it wasn't for taste. It was really bitter. But they really believed that it had healing properties, and that was kind of, it transitioned to a beverage from a medicine.
Like, I mean, I'm sure coffee at one point was a medicine. Everything was a medicine at first.
Yeah.
Food is the best medicine, right?
Definitely.
You hear that, pharmaceutical companies? Nature's coming for you. That is what they're most scared of, though. It's funny. Nature. I mean, that's where it started. They try to emulate nature by making pills. And then, I don't know. I feel like the nature just doesn't have as many side effects. I don't know why.
It's true.
Crazy how that worked. Full circle, human race. Come on.
Yeah. The funny thing is that I often do get asked about health benefits when it comes to tea. And I feel like I always kind of disappoint people because I'm like, that's not at all part of why I drink tea.
Really like tea.
I just love the tea.
You're a connoisseur.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I almost approach it the way like a beer connoisseur would or a wine connoisseur, that like I would probably drink it even if it wasn't good for me.
So have you thought about your own line of teas yet? Like your own personal blends?
You know, I've thought about it. Like people have told me that I should sell tea. No, I think.
Where's the tea for me?
I like tea too much to make money at it.
Well, I mean, if it's not work, if you're enjoying what you're doing.
They didn't say that.
Tea for me, it's a great name too.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I'll try your mango peach tea over this Lipton. I'm sure it probably be way better. Anyway, keep me updated.
Yeah.
So if you were to make a blend of tea, what do you ever like sit at home and like go all like Frankenstein on it and just start mixing different kinds together?
Not often. I would say I'm not much of like a blender. Sometimes I'll do just like a guilty pleasure for me is I like to crush up cinnamon sticks with a green tea called hojicha. That's like really dark and roasty. And it's just, it almost kind of has like a maple syrup taste to it. So like combined with the cinnamon, it's just like a super comforting cup of tea.
Nice. Where are you right now, by the way?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in New Jersey. So you're freezing.
Yes.
Touche. You said maple syrup, and it immediately made me think of like the North, and like everybody's literally putting maple syrup in their coffee, and you could totally... Yep. Put a little dab of maple syrup in your tea as well.
Definitely my winter night go-to.
Oh boy. So yeah. How cold is it in New Jersey right now?
Today wasn't too bad. It was maybe in the 30s. We're actually getting some 40s and 50s later this week, which I'm very excited for.
I'm in Savannah, Georgia. And so it was 77 just the other day. And now I think it's like 40 outside again, but not that bad. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
So if somebody was going to, who had never had tea before, and you were like, okay, what kind of tea are you going to give a kid to say, per se, like to introduce them to just drink tea without adding sweetener or anything?
I would say for a kid, I would actually say the tea that I like to mix with cinnamon, hojicha. It is a green tea, but it's roasted, and it's made mostly from twigs instead of leaves. So because of that, it's actually very low in caffeine. So it's actually very common in Japan to give it to children. So... And it does have kind of a naturally sweet taste. So that, I think, would be a good starter tea for a kid that, you know, especially if they're not used to having caffeine, you know, that they're something that they can drink, they can feel included. You know, like kids hate when they can't do something that adults are doing.
And little girls are known to have like tea parties anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think people worry a little bit too much about caffeine with kids. Like, I grew up drinking tea before bed every night. And I turned out okay, you know? Coke has more caffeine than tea does.
So. I mean, there's not actually that much caffeine in anything until you get to like Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And even it doesn't have that much compared to like a Red Bull, yeah. Right? And yeah, tea definitely. Really, so when I try to, sometimes I'll go on these kicks where I try to like stop stuff and like caffeine's one of those things that I'm just like, all right, because it takes like 2 weeks to really get caffeine out of your system. And I drink a lot of coffee when I drink coffee. And so you got to go like catatonic, right? For the first couple yeah. days, you're just like nap. Oh God, I'm so tired, nap. And then, so I would try to like downgrade. So I'd switch to tea and I'd drink black tea for like a day or two. And then I drink green tea for a day or two. And then was it even worth it? Was that, am I crazy?
It's the good thing about tea is that it takes longer for your body to absorb the caffeine. So you don't quite get that like rush that you get from a cup of coffee, mm-hmm. but it's going to last longer. Where coffee, you kind of get that like rush and then a crash when it wears off.
Right.
Where with tea, you don't quite get that crash at the end, that like it kind of just is more of a gradual, you know, calming than you being like crazy.
It's lighting yeah. up the receptors, not mm-hmm. not electrocuting them.
Exactly.
Cause like, yeah, I know first thing in the morning after like my third or fourth sip of coffee, like I just feel it. Just like just oh, right. And yeah. and when I drink tea, I finish the whole cup and I'm still like,
Yeah. So, and that's part of why matcha's become so popular. Because it's a powdered tea, it almost acts like coffee, where it kind of does, you know, hit you a lot faster.
Ah, matcha. For the matcha coffee drinker.
Yep. So, yeah, like, like the green tea lattes that they have at Starbucks and, you know, even at bubble tea places, you know, it's kind of the one tea I think you see in a lot more places now.
Where would you get hojicha?
Oh, hojicha?
Hojicha?
Hojicha, yeah.
How do I spell that?
It's a H-O-J.
H-O-J. I'll Google it too. Yeah. Where do you get it from?
So it comes from Japan. So there's, you know, definitely some really great tea sellers that you can go to.
But not like the grocery store. You know,
I would say not usually. Sometimes you can get lucky at like Whole Foods or like a kind of, if you have like a more, I know, like a natural centric market or something like that, they might have teas, you know, kind of just depends. Like the grocery stores here in New Jersey definitely don't have things like that. but I think if you're in maybe California, you're more likely to get lucky.
maybe even a Whole Foods.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I first got into tea, because there wasn't really anywhere near me, I would take the train to New York City and go to Whole Foods just to get tea.
Aha. So Whole Foods is where it's at. Amazon, you knew. It was all a ploy for the tea. Yeah. So do you ever go out for tea? Is there like...
I do, yeah. I definitely, because I do live close to New York City, you know, there's definitely some really great tea places that I can go to there. Pre-COVID, after, it's a little tough because a lot of places are tiny, so they can't quite do the whole indoor seating thing yet.
Right. And it's tea. So like, I'm sure it's like with Chinatown, a lot of little like tea shops and stuff.
Chinatown weirdly doesn't have very much tea.
Really?
Yeah. Like wow. There's like a few like traditional like herbalist shops that.
It's all the hippies with the tea then.
The East Village, yeah, basically.
So, who would have thunk it?
Yep.
Wow, America really is into tea. Turns out. Hipsters, hippies. It's good for you. It's good for you.
Definitely.
So you go to the East Village to go have some tea sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, I've got some fellow tea bloggers that live in New York, so it's great to be able to kind of just meet up with them and talk shop and drink some tea together.
Oh, that's fun. So you have like your own little tea parties just out and about.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
People from New York will never come to New Jersey, so I have to go there.
I mean, unless they want to fly.
Yeah.
I mean, Jersey's not bad. You got gambling.
It's not.
And you got some tea shops in Jersey?
Not really. That's the one thing I don't have.
No?
Yeah.
Bummer. Well,
but
just a reason to go into the city, right?
And there, I mean, there's so many places you can buy tea online that it's kind of like, you know, the internet brings the world to you that, you know, it's changed so much that, like I said, like I used to have to go to Whole Foods in the city and now I can like DM a tea farmer on Instagram and buy tea that way.
Right. Yeah. Like from anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're now they're, you know, expanding and experimenting and thanks to global warming, growing tea in places that you never would have thought of growing tea before.
Oh, silver linings. Silver linings.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're growing tea in Scotland and, you know, all kinds of places.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting colder here, but it's getting warmer there. Meh. you should always, you should always remember to snuggle up with a warm cup of tea when it's cold outside. It warms the soul. And, you know, it's people have been drinking it for thousands of years longer than coffee. Right. So it'll really take you back, you know?
Yeah, definitely will.
What's your favorite thing about tea?
I would say just kind of how it makes me feel, you know, that it like you do get the uplift of the caffeine, obviously, but there's more to it than that, that it just I think partly like the L-theanine that I was talking about, you know, that it is it does relax your central nervous system. So it kind of just balances you, I find, you know, if I'm stressed, if I'm sad, if I'm happy, you know, however I'm feeling, I feel like tea is kind of going to match where I'm at.
I never thought about tea that way before. That is very enlightening. It really, because it does. People drink tea for a multitude of reasons. And you just named like all of them. They do relax you. It is a pick me up. It is a, you know, a ceremonial like way to connect with other people. It's, you know, it's so many things. Tea.
Definitely.
Makes the world go around. And for a long time, it really did.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really just fascinating. Like one of my things, because I do love tea so much and I love reading. So I love kind of reading about history and things like that. And so much of world history basically happened because of tea that like people don't even realize, you know, like you think of, all right, people think of the Boston Tea Party as like the big thing, you know, but there's so much more of world history that basically revolved around tea, you know, that wars were fought over it.
All around the world for centuries. Yeah. Do you have a favorite tea war?
I mean, it probably wasn't so great for anybody involved, but I think just the kind of happenings of the Opium War were really interesting. That, you know, the British were buying tea from China and they loved it and they became addicted to it basically. And they still are known for being tea drinking people, you know.
Teetotalers.
Yeah, exactly. But they were paying for tea with silver, which they didn't want to do because they were like, this is expensive. And China at the time, like China was this amazing, you know, culture that had everything. They invented silk. They invented, you know, so many things that they were like, you really don't have anything we need to trade with you.
So we have everything. The British were just like,
well, we'll just get you addicted to opium then. Yeah. That like, that was basically their solution, was that they planned to pay for tea with opium so that it was more of an even trade, you know, which wasn't great for anybody. Nobody should be smoking opium or anything like that.
Medicine for medicine, one didn't get used.
Exactly.
The right way.
But then because of the Opium War, the British were like, all right, we need to find a way to make our own tea. So they actually sent a large Scottish man undercover in China, which is like completely like the concept of it sounds impossible. But at the time, like without the internet, I guess you don't know what people should look like from far places, you know,
an undercover redheaded giant.
Yeah. Yeah. So he went undercover in China, stole tea plants, brought them to India and started growing tea there. So
do we know his name?
Robert Fortune.
Robert Fortune.
Yeah.
Did he make a fortune off of those tea leaves that he stole?
He was definitely paid, I'm sure, pretty handsomely. You know,
the crown was pleased with him.
The crown was pleased. You know, they started growing tea in a place called Darjeeling, which is still famous for growing tea today. And that was basically their way of getting their own tea supply.
So they grew it in India.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. That makes sense, because they were like, huh, we conquered this place that has the right climate. We'll just grow tea there.
Exactly.
How did the Chinese feel about that?
I'm sure not so good. They were, at the time, they were very protective about that. Like, if you were buying tea, you were only allowed to...
It was like copyright infringement, huh?
Basically, yeah. And, like, the traders officially were, like, only allowed at certain ports. You know, they weren't allowed into the interior of China, so they couldn't see what tea was or how it was made. They just bought it. You know, so it's so fascinating because, you know, people have been drinking this for so long, but we really knew nothing about it until they started growing it outside of China, because it was just kind of like this protected secret.
Wow. I did not know that. That is so interesting. England was just clueless, huh? They're like, huh?
All tea comes from the same plant. And, you know,
it was like a guy in New Jersey, like trying to figure out how to make cocaine. Just like, I don't know. I just bought it off the guy in the corner. I have no idea. Like that, yeah. No idea how to make this. It comes from leaves, you say?
Exactly. Because it's all tea comes from the same plant, but we didn't always know that. You know, when they originally kind of made the scientific names for the tea plant, they had separate black tea and green tea because they thought they were totally separate plants. They had no idea that
for like genuses and.
Yeah. So it's actually just one single plant, and it's how you process the leaves that determines what kind of tea it becomes. So
all tea is really just one plant?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so it's called Camellia sinensis. And it's like I'm sure being in Savannah, you see lots of camellias everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I can drink that?
Not those specific species, but it's related to them.
Touche. Good to know.
Yeah, so it's also a camellia and a flowering one, but it's a different type where the leaves just happen to taste really good.
So does it have to do with climate at all, or in how it's grown, or is it really just the post processing?
It's more just the processing. Yeah, there's different, kind of similar to wine, there's different varieties where, like, one might be better for making oolong one might be better for making white tea. But you can take any batch of leaves and really make any type of tea you want.
Wow. I didn't know. Man, we are learning so much about tea today, everyone. Nicole is...
You are
the encyclopedia del tea. The tea-a-pedia. The tea-a-pedia.
The one thing that I think always kind of blows people's minds, that like, you might know there's green tea, you might know there's black tea, but to really like to realize that they actually do all come from the same plant, it kind of gives you like a new appreciation for it, that like what you're drinking was crafted, you know, it wasn't just, you know, like an orange picked from a tree that's like already an orange.
Right. There really is a long process involved in making and curing and creating the flavor profile for your tea.
Definitely.
So white teas are, is it just a different part of the tea plant itself?
So it's basically just how the leaves are processed. For white tea, it's like the least processed. So it's generally, you're just going to pick the leaves and dry them. That's really all that's done. So there's no flavor. I mean, it's very light, yeah, because you're not really doing a whole lot to the leaves to change them. Where, you know, compared to a black tea, you're basically creating chemical reactions in the leaves. And that's what's changing your taste and the appearance.
And the chemical composition that creates more caffeine.
Mm-hmm. So with green tea, with tea, the big kind of decider between the different types is oxidation. Which is basically like if you cut open an apple and you leave it on the counter and it turns brown, that's basically the same reaction that happens to tea leaves. So like white tea is an oxidized, and then black tea is pretty much fully oxidized because it's been purposely, you know, turned fully brown.
Do you ever grow tea? I mean, you're in New Jersey, but inside?
I have tried. I had some seeds that were doing really well, and then I had a neighborhood squirrel decide that the plants were delicious.
Oh, lucky squirrel.
So he decided to destroy them all on me.
Well, good for him, you know. I mean, you can still go to the store and buy some. He can't, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's fair. There's definitely people that do grow tea in the United States. So that's, I think, something I think we're going to see more of.
Like hydroponic indoor tea kits.
Tea doesn't like hydroponic. It doesn't like to have its feet wet.
Right. Dry climates. Yeah.
It's very picky in that sense. But the tricky thing is it likes humidity. So that can make it tough on like there's people growing it pretty successfully in Mississippi, you know, but they're going to have like the southern humidity there. But I have a friend in Brooklyn who's growing tea in her backyard. So,
I mean, it's a strong survivor, you know, it's tea survives. It's like, you know, well, I'm sure because what coffee's going out, right? Like at a certain point, we're not going to have any more chocolate or coffee. But we'll still
have tea. Saying that, yeah. I mean, and tea, you know, the best quality teas in the world are grown at very high elevation. Like, so it actually does
like grapes.
Kind of endure pretty tough, you know, growing conditions that, you know, they're, you know, up on the mountaintops and there's mists that kind of block out the sun. So for a plant, you know, for me, that, you know, means you're pretty hardy if you can survive all that.
Tea. So you recognize the tea just all around.
Yeah.
Strong, surviving. It's crazy, crazy Jersey winter. Oh, man. Nicole Wilson, thank you so much for hanging out and teaching me all about this tea.
No problem.
Love to have you back anytime and tell us more about your tea ventures.
Yeah, I'm always happy to talk to you.
You see what I did there? Not a single one of my puns has been good. But I'm trying. So we can follow you everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, etc. at Tea For Me, Please. And also your website, teaforme.com, where I looked and saw a bunch of awesome stuff that you've searched out the internet and provided for us there, which is fantastic.
Thank you. I'm a Tea For Me, Please everywhere except for TikTok because somebody took my name. So there I'm the real Tea For Me, Please.
The real Tea For Me, Please. Not that fake tea, bull BS. Yeah. The real Tea For Me, Please. And if you ever get bored and decide to make, you know, go ahead and run that tea brand of yours. So I'll be sure to order some because I need tea for me, please. Okay. Okay, Nicole. Tired of drinking this Lipton crap. Oh, thank you, darling. Yeah, anyone want to give any more shout outs or anything to anybody?
No, I don't think so.
Hi, Mom.
Sure. Hi, Mom.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and stay warm in New Jersey.
Thank you.
The tea will keep you warm, right?
Yes.
Touche. Have a wonderful evening, and keep up the good twerk. Nah. Tea work. See, none of my puns are good, people. Go watch my television show and follow me at Beyond the Check or Rashawn Parker if you can spell it. Cheers. Thanks, that was super insightful.
Yeah, no problem.
You taught me a lot.
I'm glad.
I think I'm gonna call my mother now and tell her all the fun new things I've learned about tea and blow her mind. But for real though, stay warm up there.
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome, and I'll email me or message you or tag you and let you know when your episode's airs. It'll be a couple of weeks. But...
Sounds good. I'll make sure to share it around.
Awesome. Well, cheers, darling. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Bye.